This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allow me also to congratulate Buddha Talib and Auntie Fatima on the milestone of 50 years, something we can all aspire and hope for. And just from me, from my personal capacity, the first real position I've taken after I studied was to be part of this masjid. And alhamdulillah, I've learned so much from Buddha Talib and the committee and grown as a person, alhamdulillah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, accept all that Buddha Talib and Auntie Fatima has done for this masjid and for the community, and grant them many, many more years of health and strength and continue to serve as they are the pillars of strength that this, you know, this community and this organization depends on. I said before that an alim once said the reason what's wrong with our marriages. He said before the men, the frustrations, they would come home with it frustrated, but they'll keep it inside and they keep it for the masjid committee to unleash it there at the masjid committee. And since men no longer want to join the masjid committees, it's all at home. So alhamdulillah, maybe that's the secret, you know, join the masjid committee, the secret to a successful marriage, inshallah, ameen. We continue with our series, the Tafsir of Juz Amma, and we spoke yesterday about the very first revelation, Iqra. And subhanAllah, we could talk so much more about the importance of learning. And after the talk, I should have said that, I should have said this. That subhanAllah, if you drive through different areas here in whatever city, it's only, you know, it shouldn't be a surprise that the areas with the highest crime, the highest unemployment, the, you know, the dangerous areas, the people where people are living in the worst conditions, are also the areas that have the lowest education, the lowest graduates, university graduates. And this balance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, the past few surahs were showing, Allah says, I created man in perfect stature. But then he goes down, and the thing that elevates him is knowledge. The thing that made the angels sujood to Nabi Adam was knowledge. Not just deen knowledge, but secular knowledge as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always elevate the one who knows above the one that doesn't know. And in the next few ayat, what we're going to discuss is a difference between two people, a man who learns and a man who doesn't have knowledge, and you will see the difference in them. Some questions that people asked me yesterday, why did Jibreel squeeze the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is the purpose of the squeezing? Because another principle with Allah is that knowledge does not come for free. No one will acquire knowledge without effort. You know, wealth you can inherit from your parents. Looks you could maybe inherit. Power, honor, whatever it could be. But Allah will never ever give knowledge for free to nobody. Your father could be Einstein, you will have no physics knowledge. Your father could be Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have to learn from Alif Bata. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is receiving knowledge. He has to go through some physical effort. And that's the reason why he was being squeezed. Subhanallah. Look at that. Even for the Prophet ﷺ. So for us, it's this principle. Knowledge is the golden ticket. And to get it, everyone must go through that difficulty to get there. How did the knowledge stay with Nabi ﷺ? Abdullah asked that. That the Prophet ﷺ would hear Jibreel. Obviously, Jibreel recited the ayat. Nabi ﷺ was freaked out and he ran home. But the ayat was fixed in his heart. And Jibreel, of course, would come back and revise the ayat. We know Ramadan, every Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ would revise with Jibreel all the ayat that he had memorized and put it into the correct order. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Nabi ﷺ to memorize the Quran. So we said the first bit of revelation was revealed right at the beginning of Islam. And that's the first five ayat of Surah Al-Alaq. The next few ayat were revealed maybe 5 to 8 years later, at a time when the Muslims were public, Islam was very public now, and the Muslims were being persecuted. And it's about an event where the Prophet ﷺ was making salah in the haram. Now, when Islam was openly propagated 2-3 years after this event of Iqra, when Islam was now openly propagated, the Quraysh obviously objected to Islam being practiced publicly. And they told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's not allowed to make salah public. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about learning, that man is at a loss, that man through his knowledge, through Allah teaches him what he does not know. Then the next ayah that links the two stories, Allah says, "Kalla innal insana la yatagha arra'a ustaghna inna ila rabbika ruj'a." Man Indeed, man is a transgressor. He goes beyond the limits and the bounds. He goes out of balance. Why? Because he thinks he's self-sufficient. He thinks he knows. He thinks he doesn't need Allah. He thinks that he is, you know, the big shot here on the dunya. That he's got all the answers. Allah is willing to teach him and give him and guide him, but he doesn't want that. So he's gone and he's transgressed. Inna ila rabbika ruj'a. But he should remember that indeed he's going back to Allah. And subhanAllah, the psychology that once you have no belief in accountability, and we see this in different societies when, you know, law and order breaks down, then people go crazy on a rampage. Allah says the thing that keeps you in check is to remind yourself that ultimately I'm going back to Allah. That if my parents are not there, or if the government is not there, or if the police is not there, I still conduct myself because I'm under the watchful eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says you get two people now. You have Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who's making ikrah and reading, and you have another person who's gone out of balance and is not and has no concern about his accountability. So Allah will now show an event about this person. Now there were three very senior and the chiefs amongst the Quraysh that were the most oppressive to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's Abu Lahab, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where ayat were revealed against him. Al-Walid bin Mughira for a spot prize. Al-Walid bin Mughira has a very famous son. Who is his son? Khalid bin Walid. Khalid bin Walid's father was also one of the chiefs of Quraysh, and he also was cursed by Allah in the Quran, Surah Al-Muddathir. And the other one is, of course, Abu Jahl, who was the worst of them, and Allah cursed him here in the surah. So the Prophet ﷺ was performing salah once, and Abu Jahl came and he began to strangle the Prophet ﷺ in sujood. And he was about to actually die until Abu Bakr came and he pushed Abu Jahl away and they beat Abu Bakr up. And Abu Bakr said those famous words which are preserved in the Quran, are you going to kill someone just because he says, Allah is my Lord? Is that why you're going to kill him? And they told the Prophet ﷺ, don't you ever perform salah publicly. And the Nabi ﷺ responded to them and Abu Jahl said, what right do you have to challenge me? You have a few followers. You are alone. I've got the whole tribe of Quraysh with me on my side. So the Prophet ﷺ basically warned him, and Allah warned Abu Jahl, if he were to ever harm the Nabi ﷺ again in salah, Allah is going to punish him. So Allah says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبَدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. Have you not seen this one that forbids a slave who wants to make salah? Obviously the slave here is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Have you not seen the one who stops a slave of Allah from performing salah? أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ عَلَى الْهُدَى أَوْ أَمَرَ بِالتَّقْوَى. Have you seen if he's on guidance or he enjoins taqwa? Now there's two interpretations here. Who is the ayah number 11 and 12 talking about? The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the slave performing salah, or Abu Jahl? Both is applicable. The one is that, have you not seen the one that you are harming and stopping from performing salah? He's on guidance and he's encouraging you to be righteous, to be good people. The other one is saying, have you not seen the one who is stopping the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from performing salah? He's not on guidance and he's not on righteousness. The next ayah, the Arabic on the screen is incorrect. أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. Have you not considered the one who has denied and turned away? So Allah says, look at these two people. The one is making salah, worshipping Allah, calling to righteousness, and the other one is preventing him from performing salah. Allah is asking those who are observing, who do you think is on taqwa? You see a man making salah, worshipping, and another person abusing him, using violence, is arrogant. Who, Allah is asking, who do you think is on taqwa? Who do you think is right? أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَهُ. Does he not know that Allah is watching him? Does he not know that Allah is seeing him? And it shows you once again, ignorance and violence go hand in hand. People who don't have knowledge, they always resort to violence. Couldn't have a logical discussion with the Prophet ﷺ. And the ulama therefore mentioned that you've got basically four types of people with regards to knowledge. You've got those who have guidance, Allah has given them knowledge, and they are the ulama. And when we say ulama, we don't mean it in the type of MJC ulama, meaning someone who is learned and he's got knowledge. And as Allah says that, the people of knowledge, they truly have khashya of Allah. They truly have consciousness of Allah. That's the top tier and we all aspire to that. Ameen. The second type of person is one who doesn't have knowledge, but he realizes, I don't have knowledge, and then he pursues it sincerely. Right? If we can't get to be an alim, and we don't have to be an alim. The hadith says, whoever is on a journey or on a path in search of knowledge, Allah will grant him ease to get to the path of Jannah. Doesn't mean if you reach the destination of knowledge, you just need to be on a process of learning, then Allah will make the journey to Jannah easy. The third type of person is an ignorant person, and when we say, and jahl, actually jahl is the opposite of knowledge. Ignorant person who doesn't, is blissfully ignorant, he doesn't want to know anymore. He says, I don't know and I don't care and I don't want to know. But then there's a degree worse than that. A person who doesn't know but thinks he knows, and he spreads his jahl. And it's quite interesting in the surah of knowledge that Allah condemns Abu Jahl, the father of ignorance. His name wasn't Abu Jahl, his name was Abu al-Hakam. His name is Amr, but his nickname was Abu al-Hakam, the father of wisdom. He was seen as the most intellectual man of Quraysh. They would go to him to solve problems and look. And he thought he knew, and he thought he understood, but he went against Allah, and he became Abu Jahl. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at this person who thinks he knows, and he goes against Allah, and he turns away from guidance, who uses violence to stop a person from making salah. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does he not fear? Does he not consider? Allah is seeing him. So remember, he made that threat. Ya Muhammad, if you ever make salah again in here, you're going to see what I'm going to do to you. And he told the Quraysh, the next time Muhammad makes salah, he puts his face on the ground, I'm going to stamp on his neck until basically he's dead. So the Prophet ﷺ came and he performed salah. So the Quraysh said, there, see, he's making salah. And Abu Jahl went to go and stamp on his neck, and immediately he put his hands up and he stepped back. And he said, I saw something terrifying. I saw fire with some things coming out towards me. So Allah says in this Quran, كَلَّا لَإِن لَّمْ يَنْتَهِ, that I tell you, no, if he does not stop, لَنَسْفَعَمْ بِالنَّاسِيَ, we will drag him by his forelocks, this part of your front head. And نَسْفَعَ means to drag it so hard, it pulls out the roots. I will drag him by that front part of his forelocks of his hair, نَاسِيَةٍ كَاذِبَةٍ خَاطِئَ, a lying, sinning forelock, or front part of your head. A side note here, the front part of your brain is called the prefrontal cortex, right? This part of your brain, and it's regarded, and I use you, those who are listening to the lectures only, is quotation marks here, the most evolved part of our brain, most advanced part of our brain. It is this, they call it the center of learning, the center of knowledge and making correct judgment, the part that you put on the ground. The part which we put down in sujood is the center of learning and judgment. So Allah says this forelock here is a lying, sinning, corrupt forelock, meaning Abu Jahl's forelock. And if he continues to do this, I'm going to drag him by that forelock. فَلْيَدَعُ نَادِيَ. So let him call his friends and his associates. سَنَدَعُ الزَّبَانِيَ. We will call the Zabaniya. Now who are the Zabaniya? The Zabaniya, in the Arabic language, the Zaban are those elite guards that surround a king. Right? So the special forces that surround a king and they push everyone away, that's called the Zaban. Allah also has a Zabaniya, and there are 19 elite angels of Jahannam. So Allah says, let Abu Jahl call his people, I will call the Zabaniya, the 19 angels of Jahannam, where Malik is the chief. Kalla la tuti'hu. No, Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ and all of us, do not obey him. Wasjud waqtarib. But rather you continue to make sujood and draw nearer to Allah. You put your face on the ground and draw nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know this is sajda, sujood al-tilawa. So again, the balance here, you have the most perfect person who learns and is on guidance, and you have a person who has no knowledge and spreads mischief, who is violent and corrupt. Either way, Allah is showing both, ultimately your front head is going to submit to Allah. The one will submit willingly, put his head down on the ground to Allah. The other one will be dragged by his head to Allah. Allah is making the choice. And that's why when we see this ayah, what do? We all fall down in sujood. We say, Ya Allah, we are like the first. We are like those who make ikrah. Those who learn and we obey and we submit and we try to be on the guidance and we submit to you. Our forelock, Ya Allah, is not sinning and lying. Rather, it is in submission to Allah. And we said that this is really, ultimately, this life comes down to knowledge, learning, and acting on that knowledge. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us, make us an ummah of learning, return us to that lofty place of learning, so that we move away from the ignorance that is prevailing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and forgive us. Ameen. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll discuss Surah Al-Qadr. And I think, inshallah, we'll do the surah twice now, and also just before the last 10 nights. And such a powerful surah. It is the surah of destiny, the surah of majesty, the surah of what will come forward in our year to come, our life, our death. So this is a powerful surah to be discussed tomorrow, inshallah. Yesterday's question, we didn't have the cards, but we will give the answer nonetheless. What kind of animal does the alaq look like? It looks like a leech. Right, and it's one of the literal meanings of the word alaq, is a leech, and it does resemble that. Tonight's question, we have a question tonight, and we'll have our lucky quiz. Tonight's question, who is regarded as the Fir'aun, the worst of this ummah? Who is the worst of this ummah, the Fir'aun? Is he A, Abu Lahab, B, Amr ibn Hisham, C, Al-Walid, or D, Umayyah ibn Khalaf? It's a bit of a tough one. Which one is the worst? Basically, Abu Jahl is the worst of this ummah, and the Prophet called him Fir'aun of this ummah. Which of them is Abu Jahl, basically? What was Abu Jahl's real name? I think by elimination we can get there. And just to conclude on one story that comes to my mind. Once Abu Jahl saw those angels coming, and he never attacked the Prophet again, later on when the Prophet was making sujood in salah, he himself wouldn't have the guts to go and harm the Prophet ﷺ, but he would tell one of his cronies, you go and stop him. And that's why the worst of them put that camel, the dead camel. We know the story, the guy's name is Uqba. He took the dead camel and put it on the back of Nabi ﷺ so he couldn't get up. And there were no Sahaba around, only Fatima, the daughter, and she was maybe 10 years old or younger. She was the one who had to help the Nabi ﷺ up. But when he got up, there were seven of them who did that, and they were laughing. And Nabi ﷺ made this dua, and he says, "Oh Allah, I leave the Quraysh to you." And the Sahaba said, "Wallahi, all seven of those men, they all died bad deaths in the Battle of Badr. All seven of them. So Allah will always protect His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." It's another purpose of this surah. Ameen. So let's do our lucky draw, inshaAllah. And there are prizes there. I'm not too sure what's inside there. Could be a flask or a radio. Could be a million rand. Allahu alam, what's inside there? I don't know. So how it's going to work? Okay, so there's a box actually.
To put your hand in and shuffle the cards.
All right. Bismillah. Let's see. We just take out names, random names. All right. Okay. So there's a first and second prize. So the first prize, Imran Adams. Is he here? Okay. You stand there. Your first prize, inshallah. I think there's one or two prizes. Let's try again. Number two is Yazid Jainuddin. MashaAllah. Are the Bilals allowed to get prizes? I hope it's a sister now, otherwise we'll begin, you know, to balance it out. Tasneem Williams. Is she here? If she's not here, by rules, she defaults. Is Tasneem here? No, unfortunately not. And in the last, inshallah, hopefully. No, Imran Adams again. We can't have that. Okay. Amidu is here. So those are our three winners, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for participating in the quiz, and we hope that you continue doing so again next week. We'll continue. Ameen. Jazakallah khair wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi salam mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.